welcome Reverend Jonathan Mackey to this pulpit.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. How nice to be in Apostolic Faith Church this morning. And boy, it's been almost 3 years since I've been privileged to be here. And it's good to see a lot of familiar faces out there. Appreciate your faithfulness to God. A lot of new faces I've never seen before. So I'm glad for God's increase into the body of Jesus Christ. You know, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I appreciate the fact that even though it's been a while since I've been here, that this church is still faithful to this wonderful truth that we have, the truth of repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. Labor Day weekend, I'll be starting my 44th year as a full-time evangelist, and there's so many individuals that I used to preach for that don't believe this truth anymore, but you're blessed to have a pastor that still is continuing faithful in the apostles' doctrine. You really are. And as Brother Schumacher already said, my precious wife passed away February 20th, unexpectedly in my arms. And, I have maybe 7 or 8 very old hymnals in my library. In fact, I'm kind of dispensing my library right now to some different young ministers that I know. But these hymnals, sometimes I just sit down and just read the words of these old hymns, and what a ministry they are. And I hope churches never stop singing hymns, actually. But the one that has ministered to me most since Sister Mackey passed away is, the first line is, "All the ways that God would lead me." And this is beautiful. But the last two lines are, "And I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." And I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. And so we appreciate, I know many of you have said you have prayed for me, and Pastor Schumacher assured me this church has been praying for me, and I appreciate it, really I do. But I'll tell you, we used to sing the chorus years ago, and I was raising this, "We'll understand it better by and by." There's so many things we don't understand now. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways are above man's ways. But I'm thankful that my wife was just ready to go, you know, really. She was a valiant lady. No one could imagine how much pain Sister Mackey lived in all these years. And I mean, I'll get up and preach 40 minutes. She would teach a Sunday school seminar, stand on her feet from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon with a half-hour lunch. And sometimes, you know, she just was so weary and so tired. But I'll be anxious to see what reward God has for Sister Mackey, really. And so I have a daughter who calls me every day, and she says, "You're not eating cat food, are you, Dad?" And and I said, "Number one, I don't have a cat, you know, but I don't know." So I have a granddaughter who cooks me supper every Thursday, and I go to the Golden Corral every Tuesday. Okay. Now, can you tell I'm one of these senior citizens now? I go before 4 o'clock. Okay. And it's $8.47. But they start cooking the steak at 4 o'clock. See? Because when you go at 4 o'clock, the price is like $12 or $11. So, I mean, I don't know if this is ethical, but it is honest, okay? So I get there about 20 to 4, okay? And I still get the price, and You know, I mean, you just go to Taco Bell and you pay $6, but for $8 you get the salad, you get the cauliflower and the vegetables, and so by the time I eat my salad nice and slow, get a few vegetables, the steak's already cooking. Actually, right now I can't believe I confessed that to this church. But anyway. But I told my daughter, I said, at least when I go out and preach on the weekends, churches buy me something to eat, you know, so that helps. But I do appreciate my relationship with apostolic faith, and this church has been kind to Sister Mackie and me so many, many times, and it's my desire to be a blessing to you this morning and tonight, if Jesus tarries. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Chapter 8, while we stand for one more moment, please. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing that was and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated." But that first phrase in verse 1 is a great blessing to the child of God. "And God remembered Noah." We're going to talk about a God who remembers today. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, we thank you, God, for your wonderful spirit and presence that is here, for your precious word that will never pass away. And God, help me to minister your word today. Help us to receive it. You know the spiritual condition, God, and every need of every individual in this house. God, let the word of God feed us and nourish us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated this morning. There is a very serious illness called Alzheimer's, where actually something happens chemically in an individual where they honestly cannot remember, and their memory is just totally diminishing. There's a very good pastor friend of mine who still calls me every now and again, just so upset and weeping because his wife of over 50 years is in a nursing home, and when he goes to visit her, she cannot even remember who he is. They cannot remember they have three children. It's very, very, very sad. But I want you to know the God that we are worshiping today will never have Alzheimer's disease. He's a God who remembers. And the fact that he remembers is a blessing to the child of God. And great benefits, has great benefits to the Christian. Now they say one of the signs you are getting older, or getting old, I should say, is you can't remember. And so you kind of make a list of things that you need to remember. But then you can't remember where you put the list, you know, so. Now, I have turned 73 years old since my wife passed away. And I remember a time when 73 was old. But now that I'm 73, no, it's not old. Someone said old is 15 years older than what you are. So when I'm 88, I'll be old, okay? But God will never have Alzheimer's. And do you know what? God remembers his people. One little phrase, and God remembered Noah. The story begins a few chapters ahead of this when God saw the earth was violent, all right, corrupt. The imagination of man was evil continually. And he even repented, God, that he made man. What did I even make man for? But I'm so thankful that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And he looked into the eyes of God to know what he found. a God that wanted to give benefits instead of judgment. So he tells Noah to build an ark. Noah preaches righteousness for 120 years. And the day came when the preaching was over, and God and Noah and his sons and their wives came into the ark, and God shut the door. Right? And so they were in the ark for 150 days before the ark rested. 150. Now, the Bible tells us just a couple times where Noah talked to God and God talked to Noah. But the ark, I don't know how it was constructed. I don't think it had a rudder. Did it have a compass? Did it have some kind of a steering mechanism? Noah was totally at the mercy of the flood. And I wondered if there were any times Noah said, Lord, do you know where I am? Do you know where I'm at? Do you know what's happening in my life? Am I going to come through this all right? But the Bible says God remembered Noah. And God said, God was letting Noah know, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I know what's going to happen. And I know how all this is going to end. And folks, so many times in our life, and I've said it here before, you still get flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You're not exempt from the wind, the rain, the storm. You really are not. And sometimes you wonder, does God know the sickness that is in my body? Does God know the pain I'm going through? Does God know the condition of my marriage? Does God know what's happening in my life? But I want every man and woman in this building to know God knows where you are, and he cares for you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And as everything ended all right for Noah, amen, folks, everything is going to come all right, come out all right with you. Because God remembers his people. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 19. We'll just take a few scriptures in order here for your convenience. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. So again, God is going to judge the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was saved, not because of what Lot did, but Lot was saved because God remembered Abraham. Abraham is the one who had the audacity and boldness to bargain and dicker with God. If there's 50 righteous, 40, 30, 20, there was not even 10. And I have no idea whether God would have even gone lower than that. But this scripture lets us know it's never a waste of time to stop praying for your loved ones, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your parents. There might be individuals here. The reason you are saved is not because something you did, is because you had praying parents, or you had praying grandparents, or you had praying children. But God remembered Abraham, and God remembers his people. Now, in Genesis chapter 30 in our Bibles, Genesis chapter 30, right, in verse 22, Genesis 30 and verse 22, it says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. Because in the Old Testament, it was a disgrace, a humiliation, a reproach when a woman could not bear a child. But now God remembered Rachel. And know what? She bore a child. Now, this scripture came very close to Sister Mackie and I at one point in our life, because Sister Mackie and I just have one child, and our daughter, Rebecca, you know, when we first started taking pictures in 1977, when we started evangelizing, we took a lot of pictures because we thought we'd just evangelize one year. Do you know how many pictures I would have now if I had taken one every year? But every picture we have of our daughter, she's holding a baby, kids are around her, she would volunteer for nursery duty. When I was Sunday school director of Wisconsin, many years ago, when my daughter was 11 years old, I put her in charge of all the 4- and 5-year-olds that were on the Wisconsin campground, because she just loved children. So now she's married, and she cannot wait to have her own children. But Sister Mac and I lived in Wisconsin at the time. We drove over there, over to Michigan for our Thanksgiving, and we could just tell our daughter was not herself and a little bit disgruntled and so forth. And when we left, she just broke into tears because she said, Dad, it's biologically impossible for Kevin and I to have children. And I said, Becky, we're so sorry about that, you know, but we're going to pray. And then the next year, they started the adoption process, which was so time consuming and so expensive. But it was right during this time that Sister Mackey and I went to Argentina to preach their national convention. And there was maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people at this conference. And the first night of the conference on Wednesday night, this Argentine pastor was up there testifying, and he kept pointing to me. And I asked the missionary, what is he saying? And the man was saying, 10 years ago, Brother Mackey came to Argentina and preached. And he said, my wife and I could not have children. And Brother Mackey and I prayed for us. And now we have five, is what he said. All right. And he named the first one Jonathan, after me. All right. And then the missionary leaned over to me and he says, now he wants you to pray that they won't have any more. Oh. So at the close of that conference, there was about 50 couples lined up over here that wanted me to come and pray for them, that they would have children. Now, I'm not saying I'm gifted in this, but it has just happened every time, really, it has. Sister Mackey and I did the marriage retreat and for Brother and Sister Davis in Long Island, New York, 3 years ago. And it's a church I preach revival at every year. And during this marriage retreat, there were four couples that came up to me and said, Brother Mackey, do you pray for us at that, you know, because, you know, we cannot bear children. And I prayed. And I went back the next year for my annual revival. And all four of them came up with their little bambinos and their little folks. But it just works. But anyway, but this inspired Sister Mackey's faith. Now, I've been in 69 countries of the world. But the most beautiful baby clothes you'll ever find is in, Buenos Aires, you know, Argentina. So they were having business sessions in the day during in Spanish. So we had the afternoons free, so we were walking down this little walking Strasse in Buenos Aires, and here's a shop with all these baby clothes. Sister Mackey says, I'm going to go buy some baby clothes by faith. I said, Judy, she said, no, don't hinder me, okay? I said, didn't you hear that man's testimony? I said, yeah. So she goes in and buys one outfit for a little girl, one outfit for a little boy. You know, so we come home and we call our daughter and said, how's it going? She said, oh, Mom and Dad, this adoption thing has been so tedious. And so I said, okay, but we're praying. So 3 months after that, the phone rings and my daughter's on the phone and she's in tears. She says, Mom and Dad, she said, I'm going to have a baby. And our granddaughter was born, okay? And the doctor said, this is impossible. 21 months later, our grandson was born. The doctor said, really, this is impossible. I want you to know, everybody, God remembers his people. We don't understand it all, but God is with his people. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Not only does God remember his people, but it says in verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. All right, and God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, during this time of famine, the children of Israel came to Egypt during the 7 years of famine. But it was not the will of God that they remain in Egypt. It was the will of God that they go back to the land that God gave to Abram. Because God told Abram, everywhere you set the sole of your foot, I'm going to give you this land. But now they have been in Egypt for 430 years. So Joseph, who was in a place of power, died. And all the leaders that knew Joseph died. So now they took all of Israel and made them slaves. So now it says, it came to pass in process of time that the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried. The literal Hebrew says, they cried and they cried and they kept crying. Okay, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. Now, please note, they were not crying to God. They were not saying, God, deliver us. They did not even pray. They were just crying because they were in such pain and agony because of the whips and the chains of their slavery. After 430 years being in Egypt with no voice, folks, of any of the elders that knew what God did for Abram, you know, you just... So they did not really cry to God. They were just crying because of all the problems they were having. But do you know what? But God heard their cry. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Listen, there some of us could stand right now and testify. Maybe there were some times that for whatever reason you drifted away from God. All right? And you had problems and agony and you would just cry and feel bad. But you would never get on your knees and talk to God. But aren't you glad that one day God made a covenant with you? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never! And out of nowhere, help came. Out of nowhere, here comes Moses with the plagues, and he breaks the back of the Egyptian empire. Because I want you to know, folks, because God remembers his covenant. All the promises of God, they are exceeding great, and they are precious unto us. And God remembers his word. God remembers his word. In fact, in Exodus chapter 2, or in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5, all right, it says, and God said, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. So he remembers his word. Have you ever had anyone tell you they were going to do something for you, and then they just forgot, you know? I mean, how do you remind them of that, you know? I mean, I'm going to do this. But folks, it's not that way with God. In fact, let's look at Psalm 105 and verse 8. Psalm 105 and verse 8. God lets us know just how much he remembers. Psalm 105 and verse 8, it says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. Boy, that's a long time. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, depending what source you read, a generation is anywhere from 40 to 70 years. So that means he remembers what he says for 40,000 years, 70,000 years. Now, I remember the first time Sister Mackie and I went overseas. We went to London, England in 1977. And we went in the month of February, and our flight was delayed in Detroit because they had the worst snowstorm that they ever had in Britain in 100 years. So we had to wait till the next day. And then when we got there, I remember we stayed in this very, very, very fancy hotel called the Hansel and Gretel Guest House, okay, where they shut the heat off every night, all right, and they gave you your hot water only lasted 10 minutes. And it was so cold that Sister Maggie and I and our daughter, we were sleeping, folks, with our coats over us for blankets. And at that time, Foreign Mission said, no, Brother Mackey, the church is in London. You know, it's not a third world country. They will pick you up for church, you know, take you home, buy you meals, give you offerings. But they did not pick us up for church, take us home from church. We were taking subways and taxis, and no one was saying much to us. And I knew after the first 7 days, we were going to run out of money. So We were buying cereal and keeping the milk on the windowsill and having a little bowl of Rice Krispies for breakfast and sharing a banana. For lunch, we'd go out and share a sandwich and that's how we were eating. So finally, you know, after a few days of this, I said, "Now we're gonna go out for a good meal today." We went to a Chinese restaurant. You know, it tastes good for the moment; it doesn't last very long, though. You know. But at least, you know, here's a buffet, right? So we walk into this Chinese restaurant, and we walk in, and there's two people sitting there that look apostolic. You know the look? You look at them, they look at you, and we just walked right on by, and we're sitting at our table, and I told Sister Mackie, I said, I'm going to go talk to all those people. I said, I just think they're Pentecostal. So I go back, and I said, folks, I don't mean to interrupt your meal, but I said, when I walked in, I just felt you folks were Pentecostal. And they said, we are. I said, apostolic? They said, Acts 2:38. Yes. And I said, I'm an apostolic minister, and I'm over here doing some preaching. And the man said, well, I'm over here setting up some factories for my business. And he said, I was wondering where the churches were. So I said, well, listen, I will write them out for you, and I'll hand them to you, you know, before I leave. So I gave him my itinerary, and he came out to three services when he was in London. But when they were leaving the restaurant, they stopped by our table, and they said, Brother Mackey, he said, no, I'm staying at the Penta Hotel. The Penta is where the Arab sheikhs stay at $500 a night, you know. And he said, we have a nice breakfast buffet there, and we'd like to have you and your wife and daughter come over for a buffet, breakfast buffet. Would you like to do that? I said, yeah. So 3 days later, we walked into the beautiful Penta Hotel. All right, and here's a buffet longer than the sanctuary. Eggs and bacon and fruit and bread and donuts and everything. And my daughter said, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, so now I'm preaching out in the northwest part of the United States, and I cross paths with this man again. Now I'm in Louisiana, and I see him again. So now I've known him for over 22 years, and he's going to a church in Ohio. And so he and I got to be friends during this time, and he came up to me after service, after a revival service, and he said, Brother Mackey, he said, do you have a laptop computer? And so I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, listen, he said, there's going to be a big lawsuit in my company, and I'm going to be making a lot of money, a lot, he emphasized. So he said, when I get this settlement, I'm going to buy you and Sister Mackey the best laptop on the market. So I said, okay, if you choose to do that, that will be a blessing. So a year and a half later, I go to this church again, because I've been in this church, this pulpit, 172 times, so I've been going there a lot, okay. So he comes up, he calls me at my hotel. He said, Brother Mackey, it happened. I've got so much money. Yeah. He said, your favorite meal is steak, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I called the pastor. I'm going to take you out for steak. So it's 5:00. He said, get the biggest steak on the menu. I said, really? I have service at 7:00. I said, I can't eat a lot before I preach. So I just get a little 20-ounce. No, excuse me, a little six. So I get this little steak, and because he picked me up in his brand new red Lincoln that had white leather seats, and his wife bought a brand new white Lincoln with red leather seats. Okay, all right. And he told me how he just paid cash for this $390,000 home. Okay, and he's telling me about all this money. But he never, I'm waiting, yes, yeah, he never mentions my laptop computer once. I still see him. He still doesn't bring it up. So the next time a saint says that to me, I'm going to say, would you write that down, please? But I want you to know, God wrote it down. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And you know what? Do you know how many times I've gotten down on my knees and prayed? I opened up the book. I said, now, God, you said in your word. God, you said in your word. But God doesn't need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And I want you to know, folks, if you need the Holy Ghost today, he has promised to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He has promised to never leave you and never forsake you. Oh, let's clap our hands for the covenant of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. He remembers his people. He remembers his word. Now let's look at Psalm 103 and verse 14. Psalm 103 and verse 14. The God who remembers, Psalm 103 and verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. In other words, he knows our genes. He knows our personality. He knows what's in us. He remembereth. He is constantly remembering that we are dust. You know, when God created man, he just took the dust of the ground, shaped it, breathed into it, and man became a living soul. Like Nathaniel Urshan used to say years ago, all we are is just glorified mud balls, you know. And we think we're so, and we're just flesh, we're just dust. That is why the Bible says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Because if we compare ourselves among ourselves, it's like comparing dust to dust. You ladies clean the house. You take a little bit of under the bed dust. You take a little bit of refrigerator dust. You take a little bit of piano dust. This is so exciting. I could do this all day. Bedroom dust. Refrigerator dust. Ho, ho! Yeah. Folks, is that stupid or what? That's why if we keep looking at ourselves and examining, you know, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Yeah, but you only prayed 23 minutes today? Yeah, but I prayed 27 minutes, you know. I mean, folks, do you understand? Every one of us has a delete button on our computer. whiteout on our desk. Every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us, folks, if the Lord would mark iniquity, who would stand? Do you know we're going to be saved by grace when this is all over? We really are. But what, folks, there's one man I preached for who built a brand new building. Right outside the front door is a big pile of rocks with a great big script sign on it. Scripture, he that hath no sin, cast the first stone. Right, folks, that is why we need to encourage one another. Listen, when you see someone that's backslidden, has stumbled, fallen, messed up, don't walk by him and say, yeah, I knew he could never make it. Why don't you just stop and extend a hand to him and say, come on, get up. Let's go back to church. Come on, I'll go to the altar with you. Folks, if I would ever mess up, I pray someone would call me and say, come on, Brother Mackey, come on, let's go to heaven together. I'll never forget preaching in Arkansas. And the service was over, and the pastor said, hey, Brother Mackey, I just got to talk to this man for a few minutes. You know, I'll be right out. So he put me in the car, didn't give me the keys. It was cold. I ended up sitting in the car for 40 minutes, and the pastor gets into the car, and boy, he's just kind of rankled. He didn't tell me what the problem was, but he said, I'm telling you, Brother Mackey, if that guy does that one more time, he's history. And I said, I'm so glad God never said that to me. Aren't you glad God never said that to you? Wow. Let's turn to Psalm 78 and verse 36. Psalm 78 and verse 36. Psalm 78 and verse 36. It says, this is God talking about his natural people, the Jew. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. That's why we need to remember, folks, we are dust. We're but flesh. We need to encourage one another, love one another, amen, and help one another, amen. Because, folks, God is constantly remembering that. That's why we need to forgive one another. That's why, you know, that's why we need to say, I'm sorry. That's why, folks, we need to just do the best we can with the help of the Lord and the precious Holy Ghost that he gives us. God remembers his people. God remembers his word. God remembers we are dust. All of this is a great blessing to you and me in this house today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the Lord and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget what you do to minister unto him. Now, obviously, some people in Apostolic Faith Church have a higher profile than other individuals. Some are on the music. Some are in the praise singers. You know, some are head of certain ministries. Some are Wonder Women, and they stand up here with a mask, you know. But there might be some. You know, you're just sitting out there faithful day after day, week after week, month after month. You come to church, you see a gum wrapper laying on the driveway, you pick it up because this is God's house. Brother Schumacher doesn't see it. God doesn't. I mean, no one else sees it, but God sees it. And God knows you do it because you love him and you love his house. That's why the Bible says someday the first are going to be last and the last are going to be first. Folks, no one really knows how much you pray, how much you fast, what you give to God. Folks, it's not like the Pharisees in the Bible. Every time they paid tithes, they waved the envelope up real high. You know what I'm saying? Folks, because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. So don't stop serving God because you're not always acknowledged or honored or because your name isn't called from this pulpit. Folks, we're doing it unto God. We're not doing it to be seen or to be noticed. We do things because we love God. I serve him because I love him. Amen. He's given everything to me. I'll never forget preaching in Ecuador, and the church building is so beautiful there, the headquarters building. The United States probably paid 99% of the cost, but they asked all the Ecuadorian people to give 6 months' wages to the building fund. They averaged $30 a month, $180. And there was this one little woman, she had no job. But know what she did? She started making these little pieces of candy, standing on the street corner in a basket, selling them for a penny a piece, and she paid 6 months' worth of wages. But every time someone bought a piece of candy, she witnessed, she handed them a tract, you know, handed them a church card. This one woman was responsible for 105 people repenting of sins, baptized in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, the short little Ecuadorian woman at song service, she had a tambourine with ribbons on it, and she would be dancing in the aisles, waving this tambourine. And that's when the pastor said, Brother Mackey, that's the woman. Folks, she'll never speak at general conference, whatever. I don't even know what her name is, but you understand, one of these days, God's going to give her a reward and proclaim her in front of all of his angels. That is why Jesus said, if just a cup of cold water is given in my name, it's going to receive its reward. This woman anointed his feet with the alabaster box of ointment. And he said, everywhere the gospel is preached, this is going to be remembered and talked about. Folks, people still write songs about this. We're still talking about it because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Hallelujah. Keep serving God. Now, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 9. Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 9. Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. The word visit means he will punish their sins. Now, the Bible talks about the wicked, how they flaunt their wickedness. They actually say, he that made the eye, can he see? He that made the ear, can he hear? But do you know, God who made the eye can see. God who made the ear can hear. We pick up the Racine paper, the Milwaukee paper. We read about a few of the robberies, a few of the rapes, a few of the murders. But do you know what? God sees every rape in the entire world. He sees every murder. He hears every lie. He hears every curse word. And because the wheels of God's judgment grind, move so very slowly. Boy, the chariots of his love, boy, he just rushes in there. But folks, because the judgment of God takes a long time, people think, I got away with this. But the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit he's going to reap life everlasting. But if he sows to the flesh, he's going to reap corruption. So folks, you are in the right place today. Folks, you're in a place where you can actually make things right with God. You are sowing to the Spirit by being in God's house. And I've been evangelizing 43 years. There are always people out there that refuse to come to an altar, refuse to kneel, refuse to pray. But do you know someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The reason we open up an altar in this church, because you can make things right with God. I remember reading a long time ago where they realized that sometimes babies can remember at 3 months, it's in them, what happened to them. I mean, when they're an adult, they can remember, folks, what was happening, folks, when they were just 3 months old. But now they found out even when the baby's in the womb, things affect them. Folks, the arguing and the fighting and the violence and the drugs and everything else. But now I read they can touch a part of the brain, and know what? It's like an instant replay in the NFL. Folks, instantly, your entire past is brought back to you. I mean, in the NFL, you know, did he really score a touchdown? They have instant replay where it's both his feet in bounds. But folks, someday there's going to be people stand before God and say, God, it wasn't me. You got me mixed up with somebody else. But can't you see God touching that certain part of the brain? And folks, every detail comes back just like it happened, amen, yesterday. And folks, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And because God has not come yet and God has not judged sin yet, folks, he judged it in Noah's day and he's going to judge it in our day. Folks, John saw the great white throne and all the dead, small and great, stand before God, and he opens up the books. There's going to be a judgment because God is going to visit sin. He is. So the fact that God remembers his people, remembers his word, remembers that we are dust, remembers what we do. Man, folks, I mean, it puts a hallelujah on our lips and says, thank you, Jesus. But when we talk about, and God is going to punish sin and remember iniquity, not too many amens or hallelujahs here today, but folks, it's going to happen. But do you know what the beautiful thing about God? You know, with God, all things are possible. You know, the God who remembers is also the God who does not remember. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 in our Bibles. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. God said, I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. The word blot actually means he cancels them. They're not going to influence him anymore. All right? For mine own sake, I'm going to do it because I want to do it. All right? And he said, and will not remember thy sins. I will not remember thy sins. Now God gave us a huge visual aid lesson in the book of, in the Old Testament. Folks, when the death angel was going to pass over Egypt, and God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And here's Israelites putting blood on the doorposts of their house. And I can see an Egyptian saying, what are you doing this for? Well, because there's a death angel passing over, and if he sees the blood, he's going to pass over you. Even if an Egyptian put blood on the doorpost of his house, God passed over. But that was a huge visual aid lesson of what happened at Calvary. Listen, the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale, not a figment of some man's imagination. They really took a man by the name of Jesus and beat him more than any man was ever beaten. One translation of Isaiah said you cannot even distinguish the cheeks from the cheekbones or the chin from the lips. Folks, I mean, standing before a band of soldiers, blindfolded, they hit him in the face and the groin and the kidneys and the back. Folks, and the blood that came from his eyes and his ears and his mouth, folks, and his nose and the crown of thorns on his head, more blood, stripes on his back, more blood, nails on his hands and feet, more blood, a spear driven into his side, more blood. Do you know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats has no power to take away sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary will never lose its power. That is why when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the blood that Jesus shed for me now covers, cancels, eliminates, atones for everything that was ever in your life. Hallelujah. Yep. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You really do. Now let's look at Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 in our Bibles. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. The Lord said, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Into the depths of the sea. Now, in case you don't know this, 70% of the world is water. And if you took all the continents, North America, South America, and put them all together in one landmass, there would be 18 million square miles of ocean left over. The deepest point in the ocean is right off the island of Guam. It's 36,198 feet deep. The pressure there is 7 tons per square inch. So needless to say, deep sea divers don't go that deep. All right, but you could put 27 Empire State Buildings, one on top of the other. And right, and you would still have 700 feet of water left over. You could put Mount Everest there and still have a mile of water left over. So, Lord, I don't know what you did with my sin, but don't put him in the little pond over here in the golf course, okay? You know, they surface every now and then. Take all my sin and cast them into the depths of the sea, 36,198 feet deep. And God said, I will not remember them. Never. Do you know how many people that are going to counselors, taking pills to get up, pills to go to bed, and so much mental illness? Because, folks, their conscience, folks, is so seared, and everything they did is haunting them time and time and time and time again. But I want you to know, I can stand here and tell you, I don't care what you've done, what your lifestyle was, how you lived before you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he does not remember them anymore. He does not. Hallelujah. You can be up here singing or testifying. You know what? The devil's going to bring back something you did when you were 18, when you were 36. You know, God, the devil says, you know what? I know what you did. You remember that? He'll bring it back. You talk about condemnation that comes. But folks, and so therefore, by the time you leave this platform and go down there, boy, yeah, I mean, you bow your head and said, Lord, 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 I'm so sorry I did that. Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. And you know what the Lord says? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. There is therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was at a church in Ohio, and the pastor's son, 10 years old at the time, brought his 10-year-old friend to church for the very first time. So they're in Sunday school, you know, during the morning worship. So now morning worship is over, and here comes the pastor's son. And I remember, he was the most talkative 10-year-old kid I ever met. He had good grammar, talking complete sentences and everything, you know. And so, but the thing I remember about this church, I'm embarrassed to say, is that they had the dirtiest water in a baptistry I've ever seen. Folks, I mean, the baptistry was uncovered, and when I looked into the water, it was just kind of green and scummy with a little level of black goop on top, you know. And so I'm on the platform after morning worship, shaking hands with people, and here comes the pastor's son with his friend, and there he's showing them the songbooks, the communion table, and different things. And then I'm up here, and now he's taking them to the baptistry. And he says, this is where we baptize people in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. And I turned around, and I saw this little visitor boy looking at this water. And he said, why is the water so dirty? And the pastor's son said, because those are all the sins. For folks, they're not in here now. He takes your sin and casts them into the depths of the sea. I'm so glad that God remembers, and I'm so glad he does not remember. Let's stand, shall we? And let's clap our hands. Amen. For a God who remembers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. And let's raise our hands and thank him for Calvary again, shall we? Jesus, we thank you for the blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to open up this altar. Do you know why we open up an altar? Because if you're out there and you say, does God know where I'm at? Does God know the storm? Does God? He does. But when you come to this altar, God's going to let you know what? I remember you and I know where you are. You need the Holy Ghost today. He wants to fill you. If you're here today with sin in your life, you can come to this altar today and repent and make it all right with God. You that have been washed in the blood, we thank you again. Thank you again, Jesus, for the precious blood and the no condemnation. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.